Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. This is the first podcast of the 2020 lacrosse season. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Chris, welcome to another season.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here.
So, a lot to talk about as your team gets ready to play. Opening day is Saturday. You'll be at Temple. A lot of road games, road heavy to start the season. Just one home game between now and March 24th. We can go through the roster position by position. We'll see how that all shapes up. But let's talk a little big picture here. Let's talk about the 500th Ivy League championship in Princeton history, which was won by the wrestling team on Sunday. You have contributed more than your share to that total of 500, but it's a great accomplishment for Princeton to get to 500 Ivy titles. The women have accounted for 214 of those, despite not starting until 73-74 with official Ivy League championships for women. Talk about the accomplishment. I mean, it's got to be something that I don't want to suggest that it is, but do you feel like a lot of pride in the fact?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I couldn't be happier that wrestling actually clinched it. I'm so happy for Chris and his staff and his players who've worked so hard to make that our wrestling program such a strong program. And I know it was a glorious moment for him and their team and for Princeton Athletics. And I think all of us coaches who work here just feel so lucky and so proud to be a part of an athletic department and program with such an amazing tradition of success.
And you mentioned the wrestling program, and not to get too sidetracked away from the start of lacrosse season, but if you don't know a lot about Princeton wrestling, Coach Ayers came in and inherited a program that really struggled to put together a full lineup. He lost his first 15 Ivy League matches, his first 35 overall. And, you know, I remember head coach meetings, and he would stand up there and talk about he would be the team to dethrone Cornell. And Cornell had won 17 straight Ivy League championships, 92 consecutive Ivy League matches until Princeton beat them in Jadwin on Sunday. When you see a coach who comes in here young, a lot of energy, a lot of plans, you know, knowing what it takes to get a program to the level that you've built your program to, what advice do you give them, if any? Do they come and seek you out? And are you able to tell early on, you know, this is the kind of guy who could be successful?
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of coaches, when they start, they all say that. They're going to win a national championship in so many years. They're going to win their conference in so many years. But it usually doesn't happen. But every now and again, there's a coach like Chris with that just dynamic personality and that passion and that work ethic. You could tell that he was going to make some waves here. And, you know, he's worked at it consistently and brought in phenomenal recruiting classes. And I think their team just has a great culture. You can see it when they compete. I had a chance to be at their match on Saturday. I wasn't able to go on Sunday, but, you know, just the atmosphere in Dillon Gym for that match and the intensity of the wrestlers and the excitement around the program and their following was just tremendous to see.
Yeah, it was. I was there on Saturday, and I was the one on Sunday, and the intensity Sunday ratcheted up a few levels. Jadwin was very loud. People were into it. New Jersey's a big wrestling state. It was really great to see. And, you know, as far as the context of 500 Ivy League championships, only Harvard has even won 400. You contributed to that one, too, I believe. Did they have? Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We won a couple. Well, I think the first two right. Ivy championships for lacrosse.
So Harvard is in second, around 430, and nobody else is even, you know, remotely in the neighborhood. So to get to 500 is a great accomplishment for Princeton, and I attribute it to a lot of things. And, you know, mostly it's the coaches and the athletes, and it's also an institutional commitment to being excellent. And I think it really has manifested itself in all these decades with some great things. And you know, the women's lacrosse team has played a very big part in that, and also the field hockey team. You were an assistant coach for field hockey for quite a few years, contributed some Ivy League championships there. So you get to celebrate this as much as anybody, I would think.
Yeah, I just think it's just such a great moment for Princeton athletics and for all the coaches who've coached here in the past and all the tremendous student athletes who've gone through the program here. It's a moment in history that we should all just really celebrate.
And there were a lot of celebrations. I said you can celebrate this as much as anybody, maybe anybody other than Fred Samara.
Absolutely.
Do you know how many he's contributed?
Is it 43?
That's 46 as a head coach. Okay. 64 total Ivy League championships for Fred Samara.
Wow.
In the men's track and cross country program since he was hired here in 1977. So, but again, congratulations to every athlete and coach at Princeton who ever contributed to that 500 Ivy League championships. And let's look ahead now to the women's lacrosse season. Before we get into the specifics of it, where's your head at as you head into another lacrosse season? It's, you know, the same excitement that you've always had? Is it, you know, butterflies? Like, where do you get this time of year as you get ready to start coaching your team again?
Yeah, I think it's just great to be out on the field every day with the team and in our in-season practice. And so excited to open up. You know, this is the least amount of preseason we've ever had or really will ever have. Next year, we don't start till the 20th. But I was telling some of the players yesterday, like, I'm ready to go. I think we could play tomorrow, you know, or we could have played 2 days ago. I think we've had a great week and a half of preseason practice, and things are really starting to click in a way that, you know, we knew we'd get there, but we didn't see it in the fall. We had a scrimmage last weekend against the New York Athletic Club, which includes, you know, a lot of former high-level players, both from Princeton and other top schools, yeah, U.S. players.
What was it like to see Elizabeth George score against you?
I know, seriously. I was happy for her. And I mean, we had Ellie DeGarmo back and Sarah Lloyd and Manny Rodriguez and Aaron Tochaharas. So it was great to see those kids back on 52 field.
Well, your team looked good in the scrimmage, and you sort of, I realize it was a scrimmage. It's against a team that hasn't really been practicing and that. It's not another Division I team. But I think the question marks for your team looked pretty solid in the scrimmage. Now the question is, does that carry over once you start playing your really tough schedule? But if, you know, we could talk about this. You have, you returned your top two scorers from a year ago, Kyla Sears, Tess Dorsey. You graduated your next four. So you need people to come in and score. And, you know, you can't have two players carry the entire load because then the team can just plan for those two. But absolutely, it looked like you have some scoring options that you had to be pretty happy with in that scrimmage. And let's start with Katie Riley, senior, a captain, and she looked much improved from last year.
I'm just so happy for her. That kid has put in so much work into elevating her game. And, you know, she played more last year than she had in her previous two. But this year she's just taken it up another level. Her footwork is really good. Her, you know, she's attacking the cage. She's a great feeder. And she's really helped to elevate our play offensively.
So who else do you see stepping up offensively to give you some depth there?
Well, I think absolutely Grace Tuckus has done a fantastic job for us. She's penciled in right now as the fourth starter in that unit.
I was going to ask you, the two freshmen whose last names I need to know how to pronounce are Kari and Grace. So Grace is
Tuckus,
yeah. And Kari is?
Is Bonanno.
Bonanno, okay.
Yeah, and so Grace has just done a phenomenal job. And that spot was really open heading into the spring season, and she really has stepped up and just she's playing so well in practice. She gives us a kid who can be a power dodger, or we can put her behind and she can feed some of our great cutters. She's one of the strongest players on our team physically, and I think that's really going to help us, especially with the graduation of someone like George, who was such a power kid.
And then we mentioned Kari, the other freshman. She made a great feed inside. I was like, who was that? And then I saw it was number 9, and you know, that was just one of the goals that your team scored. Your team, maybe it was 18-3 was the final or something like that.
I think Kari's going to be a special player. I like to tell the story about Kari. My first year here at Princeton in 1987, my first season, I coached her aunt, who was then Kari Briggs. And now she's, you know, named after her aunt. And now she's has the opportunity to play here. And she's, you know, she's got the speed. She has the vision. She has the skill. I think she's going to be a great mini for us.
And her dad played at Brown, I believe, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then looking beyond other names on offense, and you have a lot of players that could play both ends of the field, but looks like some of your sophomores are going to step up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lucy Guildhouse is another kid who has come in so much improved. She spent the summer really working on her fitness, her strength, and her lacrosse ability.
She looked really fast in the scrimmage.
She is. She's a lightning fast kid. She can get up and down the field, and her development has really given our team a new dimension. She's also taking a good number of our draws and helping us out there, but I think she's going to be really a big part of our transition game, and it's been great to see her development.
Yeah, we'll get to the draws in a second. You know, also offensively, maybe getting some more production out of Maria Pansini or Shannon Berry? Or are they going to play more on the defensive
side?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've got some more middies, obviously, in that mix. I want to start with Annie Corey, one of our captains, who's back from a year out due to injury. And she's just getting better every day and provides such great leadership. And she's a great kid. She can play inside or outside offensively. She's has a lot of experience on the defensive end as well. I think we're going to get great production out of her this year. And then we've got our two returning sophomores who both played last year at the middie position in Maria Pansini and Shannon Berry. And, you know, we expect them to continue to grow and develop and be big parts of our midfield unit.
And we glossed over Tess and Kyla, but
you can't gloss over them.
Kyla way past the halfway mark towards the school record for career points after her first two seasons. Tess, I believe it was 64 goals a year ago, and just both of them very reliable scorers, very used to having the burden of scoring on them. Kyla's still only a junior, Tess is a senior. It's great to have that kind of experience and that kind of, obviously, you know, All-America level player to lead your offense.
Yeah, absolutely. They're an incredible 1-2 punch, and you really don't know who's one and who's two. They're really a 1-1 punch. They have both been playing just so well. I think Tess has been phenomenal this entire year, and I'm so excited for her. To begin, she's always been a great player for us, but maybe has been overshadowed a little bit in terms of awards, but we all know what we have in her and what that kid is capable of, and you saw that on the field this past weekend in our scrimmage. I mean, she was involved in most all of those goals, and she's taken some draws for us now too and rides hard just like Kyla. So between them, I think they're going to give opposing teams a lot of headaches.
Yeah, so Elizabeth George last year, in addition to her offense, was probably the catalyst on the circle for draws.
Yeah.
Draws are a huge part of the game. You have to have possession to win. You have people who could score, so if you get them the ball, they're going to score. Without Elizabeth George, what's your sense on the circle?
Well, you know, I think that was our biggest question mark. We were Lillian Stout was Georgie's backup last year on the draw, but then we lost her in the fall due to injuries, so she'll be out all year. And we've had to kind of figure out who's going to take over that role. And I think it's going to be a little bit of draw by committee. We have different kids who can do different types of draws, and so whether it's Lucy or whether it's Tess or maybe occasionally Marge, you know, we've tried a number of different kids. Even Grace took them in high school. Like, we do have some options there. So Coach Maurer's going to be busy, you know, sorting that all out and doing some individuals with the kids. And I think that's something that's going to develop over the course of the year. But we were really happy with how we performed this weekend on the draw circle and just our ability to compete and scrap for the 50-50s as well.
You mentioned Marge. That's Marge Donovan. And when the other team does win a draw and get possession, you at least know that you have the defense that is ranked number two by Inside the Cross heading into this season. And you have a defense that is, you have a lot of experience, only juniors basically have three juniors who've started every game of their career. Marge, we mentioned, Mary Murphy, Olivia Pugh. You have those.
Maddie Stasek, too, senior.
Maddie's a senior who's taking over. And it was Noni Anderson, who was the Ivy League Defender of the Year, who graduated. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a huge loss. But to have Maddie, who's played a lot, to step in with those three, it gives you a lot. And then the backbone of the team, Sam Fish, who I was watching the scrimmage on Sunday, and I was like, this is unbelievable, the amount of saves she was. It was almost like she was throwing the ball away on purpose so she could make another spectacular save. But she must have, I wasn't keeping stats, she must have had 15 saves in the first half. And I was thinking, why are you wasting this in the scrimmage? But she doesn't really waste it. That's just how she is.
Yeah, she had a ton of saves and was phenomenal versus three goals against. You know, against some against some opposition who are great shooters. I thought she just played so composed in there. She wasn't as bouncy as she sometimes can get. She stayed tall. She held her position. She was relaxed. And she stopped a couple of 1v her just cold,
like a lot of them in a row. And you know, she just looked so smooth doing it. And
yeah, I think Nyack got their second goal halfway through the second half.
Yeah.
And they were all like cheering and celebrating. And they're like, oh, we finally got another goal. And she was just rock solid back there. And so when you have a keeper who's that good and that talented, you can take some more risks defensively, and it just gives you a lot of confidence.
And outletting the ball really well as well. And
she was. She has a little more of a green light this year to go out of the cage a little bit and win ground balls. And she would like to have a couple of those clears back, but it did give her the opportunity to have those just unbelievable point blank saves. I think that kid is just going to have a great year for us and continue to get better.
And the three juniors in front of her,
Yeah, the whole unit in front of her, really.
But just those three juniors, I don't know that you've ever had three juniors who go into their junior year having been three-year starters now.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who knows all the stats, but that, it is nice to have such a group on the field with that type of experience. I think the biggest question, defensively, our midfield unit is really young. So at any point, you're going to have three of those seven kids in the defensive unit who are younger. But having that experience and really working on the communication is going to make a big difference for us.
And didn't want to shortchange Maddie Stasek, who played well last year over the second half of the year.
And, absolutely.
And looked really sharp on Saturday or Sunday as well, whenever it's Sunday. In the scrimmage. So Princeton ranked, top 5 to 8 in any poll that you looked at this year. It doesn't really matter as you move into the season. 11-game winning streak last year, won the Ivy League tournament, won the Ivy League regular season championship, won 2 games in the NCAA tournament to get to the quarterfinals against Boston College. A lot of graduation losses. League is tough again. Penn looks very strong. Dartmouth is always good. Teams are building and getting better. A lot of challenges there. And then the schedule, which is, how did it get so road heavy to start the year? The only home game.
I don't know. Who made that schedule?
The only home game is Virginia, which is next Saturday, the 22nd. And I believe it's 6 of the first 7 on the road.
We're trying to be really nice to our fans and play in front of them in the nice weather in April.
Well, it does back up with home games at the end, which is great. But
yeah, it is. I mean, it's going to be a tough haul early, but a lot of those games are close. A lot of them are just day trips. And the away games also give the team a chance to bond, right? A chance to be on the bus together and travel together and, cement those relationships that have been building all year. And I think we're going to be road warriors in the beginning of the year and then get to, finish the season out at home primarily. So, whether you play a game home or away, it really doesn't matter. It's the same field. It's the same game. So, we just play them as they come.
The men are the opposite. They have a bunch of home games to start the year and just the trip to Virginia away in the first few games, 5 of their first 6 at home. Goals are the same every year, I assume?
Yeah, goals are the same every year. And obviously, this team, they've won 3. I mean, the seniors have been part of 3 Ivy Championship teams. They've been to the quarterfinals twice. I mean, they want to get further than that, and we want to be a team who can play with and beat the top teams in the country. But, ultimately, to get there, you got a long season ahead of you. It's not what you want. It's what you prove game in and game out, and that's really our focus, to treat every competition as the most important competition on our schedule and to improve every day throughout the season and, see where that takes us.
Opening day Saturday at Temple, 1 o'clock start?
1 o'clock start.
1 o'clock at Temple. It'll be Princeton Women's Lacrosse season opener. You can see them at home the following Saturday against Virginia. And we will be here each week, hopefully deep into May like we were last year, talking about the women's lacrosse season and other issues that come up in the sport of women's lacrosse and across Princeton athletics. Coach Saylor, thanks for being with us here today.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton head women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor, I am Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.